The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
Yeah! Hello and welcome back to Hoop Ball Hawks, the brand new show here on the Hoop Ball Network, where we are taking flight. We cover everything regarding the Atlanta Hawks. I'm your host, Brad Harden, and we are here today with a very, very special guest, fellow writer, podcaster for HoopBall.com, Atlanta sports fan, and I stole this right off his Twitter bio. My man, who we had wonderful conversations before leading into the show, Alan Throke. Welcome to HoopBall Hawks, huge Hawks fan. So tell the audience about yourself and your personal fandom with this team, Alan.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Brad. I've loved what you've been doing here. Your first four episodes, it's been really cool to see a Hawks presence on Hoop Ball, this is an up and coming podcast, man. It's awesome to be a part of it.
I appreciate that. I do.
And like you said, I'm a Hawks fan. Been a Hawks fan my whole life. I'm originally from Atlanta, and I've lived here through college all the way till now. I've not jumped ship on any of my teams, even though they try really hard to push me away. We're coming off of an inexcusable Falcons loss today that we're just not going to even, I don't even know why I brought it up right now. We're not going to talk about that again.
I'm sorry. It's okay.
It's a rough one.
Be all right.
But the Hawks have always been my team. Basketball's always been my favorite sport. And, even though they haven't won anything in, the time I've been here, or really the 50 years I've been in Atlanta, I've watched some pretty fun teams growing up with the Joe Johnson, Josh Smith, Al Horford Hawks. That's what they really got me into following, like, teams in general. I was a little young. I didn't realize how limited their ceiling was at the time, but they were always a team with had a lot of continuity, and I really liked watching kind of like the same guys year after year and watching how they develop and change with each other. And it's cool that, the current Hawks, they've built something that actually is starting to look a little bit similar. A lot of familiar faces, a little identity coming together here, even though, it's as fun a time as I can remember to be invested in this team.
I certainly agree, and I hope that we'll be singing the tune. It's not Christmas season yet, but it's beginning to look a lot like playoffs. I hope that's a song that we can sing for the Hawks here in the near future. And I want to just ask a couple more questions about, obviously, your ride or die fandom for the Hawks, which I love to see. I love to hear ride or die and fandom with the city of Atlanta, because, like I said, like you said offline, we need more of that. We need more of that, and this is the time to invest. In the Hawks, if you're trying to buy stock in the NBA teams. And I know I wanted to ask you, what was your favorite? I know you talked about one of your teams that sparked you into this fandom, but your favorite moment for the Hawks in their franchise and your time being a fan?
It was probably the 2010 season. That was I remember that year we had Jamal Crawford winning Sixth Man of the Year. He was fantastic. Ooh. That was probably that was peak Joe, Josh, and Al Horford together. I'd say that team. My favorite moment from that season was at this game against Orlando in Atlanta. I got to go with my stepdad, and we saw closely contested game throughout. Josh Smith ended up putting a punt back dunk at the buzzer to win the game over Dwight Howard. I thought that was the coolest thing. When it happened, and I'm like, I can't believe we just saw that. That my enthusiasm was probably at an all-time high there. Of course, we all know how that story ends with that Hawks team.
That was a great moment.
Great moment. Yeah, and then I've watched the Dominique and Bird duel on YouTube. I mean, that's probably the most iconic Hawks moment by a pretty wide margin. Other than perhaps the 60-win team getting to the conference finals, but. Again, we all know how that one ended.
So it's been some great moments in this franchise's history. Unfortunately, the Larry O'Brien has continued to elude them, but been great players. I know, being from Louisiana, we have a connection with, obviously, Pistol Pete Maravich, spending some time with the Hawks as well. So there's been a connection from, obviously, from Louisiana to the Hawks. But shifting focus more to obviously this current roster now, after talking about the big historic moments, your favorite player on the Hawks roster currently?
I mean, obviously, you got to talk about Trae Young.
Bird. Ice Trae, man.
The most iconic Atlanta Hawk since Dominique Wilkins. I don't even think that's a debate at this point. It's those two as far as, like, you know, star power in Atlanta. And, yeah, Trae's entering year three, but it just speaks to just, I mean, it's, we've never had a guy like him down here. And it's just, it's crazy seeing how much command he has on the offensive side of the floor at just such a young age. And, you know, he's obviously, there's a lot riding in him in this third season. You know, he wants to get to the playoffs bad. The team is going to go as he does. So I'm really, you know, I'm big on him. And I'll also say this. I'm really, really intrigued to see what Cam Reddish does this season. I think that,
yes,
I think that the Hawks ceiling is going, at least in their current form, the way that they're currently structured, they will go as far as he can take them on the defensive side of the ball. I think that he showed some pretty impressive flashes towards the end of last season after what was a pretty rough rookie campaign. He definitely showed, you know, that last sort of 10 games or so after the All-Star break, he really started to turn the corner, and it was exciting to see.
Yeah, and yeah, you're absolutely right. He was hot. He started putting up some big numbers. You started to see him a lot more comfortable in the system, on both sides of the ball, making some plays, and Trae Young speaks for itself. So those are two very, very exciting players that, like you said, whether with this team as constructed, will be great measuring sticks, especially going into this year, to see where they are with their game, respectively. Trae Young, as spectacular as he can be at a young age, and very undershadowed when you're looking at some of the other players that they're seeing because of the bubble, because of them being on TV, everyone's seeing Jamal Murray do his thing, everyone's seeing, mm-hmm. obviously, Luka earlier in the playoffs, Jokic, but Trae Young doesn't get the credit, obviously, because of the success of the team currently, but hopefully we can change that tune soon. And you alluded to, obviously, the comparison between Trae and Dominique as far as cementing himself as probably the best player in Hawks franchise history. Where do you think Trae Young can end up on that list or potential?
So, I mean, obviously, you know, Neek is the standard bearer down here, and you can't just give that up after 2 years of Young. I mean, I think that, you know, if what the 2 years are any indication of, like, where his floor is at, then obviously, yeah, he has a case. If he plays a long time down here, he continues to be this prolific player that he is, he could absolutely get himself into that conversation. It's more so in terms of, like, marketability. Trae is probably the biggest star that we've had in Atlanta Hawks uniform since Neek. I mean, just
yes,
yeah. He still has a lot to prove, though. I mean, we shouldn't get too far ahead of ourselves, because, you know, right. These guys have got to get above the hash mark on that 50. They need to win more games, you know.
Right.
And so, before we go anointing, but no, he clearly has the potential, and there's just an energy that comes with him. There's a swagger that comes with the way that he makes these plays, these logo threes and these nutmeg type passes. Like, he's got flair and he knows it. He's just gotta, you know, it's about improving as a team player, obviously defensively, and, you know, there's plenty of room for growth if he's going to make it into that conversation of all-time Hawks.
Yeah I totally agree. And both, you know, we talk about flair and showmanship, both him and Neek have that, which is great to have, you know, both of those players in conversation as one of the best players in franchise history. And this is more so for context for the younger listeners or not the huge basketball enthusiasts. If you want to see some great highlights, look up Dominique Wilkins. He was amazing and on par and on level with Jordan in the league, especially for a couple year stretch as one of the best players in the NBA at in his time. So definitely watch some highlights. And some of the young Trae Young fans may not, who's jumping on this bandwagon with the Hawks, may not have known about, you know, the history in Dominique. So definitely go check that out. But I definitely wanted to get your viewpoint on that as a Hawks fan. I mean, compared to me, a Hawks historian, just an interesting, you know, conversation and great context for the audience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for more context for the audience, the NBA has now settled on the date of November 18th for the draft. So we now have another domino as in the off-season schedule has fallen down to lead to obviously seeing when the next season will start. And I will say, Alan, because on draft night, this will be on November 18th, I will be exclusively playing Drake's November 18th song on that day. It's a Drake holiday. It's a Drake day. And October is this month. So you have, and he already probably has a calendar as well. Someone has a Drake calendar somewhere. So he's trying to take over Gregorian calendar right now. But we just know that the beginning of the short off season will more likely be set soon. So we're hoping to see more key dates fall into place, like the start of free agency, training camps, and the opening, obviously, of when they tip off the regular season for next year. And hopefully that'll be filled after the NBA finals. And we'll be able to talk about, you know, free agency a little bit later in the program. But I know we've had offline conversations, and I know we talked about it on the program of the Giannis ATL campaign. It kicked off last week. Alan kind of helped, you know, jump started for me. Said, you know what, I think it's time to put this out there. To put this out there in the world. And for those who may not have caught the podcast last week, with the Bucks recently being bounced out of the Eastern Conference semifinals by the Miami Heat, the talks of the big man's future in Milwaukee, if he's going to stay, if he's going to go, have been heating up. He's been linked to several teams like Miami, Toronto, Golden State. They'll have to make a lot of moves as far as salary cap to make that happen. But those are three teams that he's been linked to. News of him unfollowing the organization, his teammates, the meeting with upper management about what they're going to do to help build a championship team in the next oncoming years. So if the Bucks were forced to trade him, they would have to get value in return, obviously. They don't want to just let him walk in free agency next summer. And right now, the Hawks currently have a lot of cap space and assets that they could send to Milwaukee, including JC, who we'll talk about more later in the program, with Collins for sure to make this trade work. So I'm going to ask is, do you think Giannis is worth betting the house on? I mean, just won multiple MVPs back-to-back. But do you think with the assets that we have to put on the table, is he worth betting the house on?
Well, absolutely. He's definitely worth betting the house on because, I mean, Giannis is a generational type of player. It's not a matter of if, in my opinion, it's a matter of just when and where he ends up winning his first championship. He's just that level of talent. And first of all, I also just want to give you a shout out because I'm pretty sure that, you know, I of all like the Hawks pods or Hawks media out there, I'm pretty sure you are the first official co-signee of the Giannis to ATL campaign is like a serious, you know, thing. And I just want to say, man, and you throw me on the ballot with you, we'll go out and get some signatures, go door to door on this one. Like, well, I'm all for it. I think that it's, you know, why not? Why not?
We can start canvassing my neighborhood. We can start canvassing my neighborhood. Get a good deal at Kinko's and get the printing going.
Absolutely.
We need to spread the word, and I know it, and some people may think it's a crazy take, and I'm glad to hear that this program is the first program to put that out there, and I want to see more Hawks programs put that out there as well, because we need to be taken seriously, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I know as crazy as it may sound for some people, if you're, you know, endorsing, you know, giving your platform to talk about it, of Giannis to ATL, What would you have to say to fans and make it seem like, you know what, this is a reality. Atlanta could be a good fit. What are we missing here as us knowing the team more so and the culture and the fan base and the plans of what this front office is doing to change the culture and narrative of this franchise? What do you say to all the naysayers of why this could work?
So, I mean, it makes sense if Giannis, let's just talk about the scenario, if Giannis ends up asking for a trade. You know, it's, you can't really telegraph right now. I think everything that we understand about Giannis from just an outside perspective is that he's a guy who is not trying to get his way out. I mean, I'm sure he's got to be upset with the lack of success the team has had. But for all accounts, he seems to be a guy who's bought in and who is going to give the Bucks the benefit of the doubt to convince him that he can win long term, that they can put the pieces necessary around him. So, you know, it's tough for me to envision them wanting to go and trade Giannis unless things just go so south at the start of next season that he just like straight up asks them to be moved. And they just like, you know, I respect y'all. this is just going to happen. You may as well get what you can for me. I mean, it, we'll see if he's that kind of player. To now, it doesn't look like he is. But if that were to happen, you would have to consider the Hawks to be a team with all their cap space and assets to be in the running to, you know, hop on the phone with John Horst up there and, you know, like, what could you offer? The Hawks could make a competitive play. Of course, they can't and shouldn't if Giannis obviously isn't willing to re-sign here. You know, like, correct. It's just, you can't just trade the farm for a rental. So it makes sense in like a vacuum that like the Hawks just have the capacity to take him on. But the real way that you get there is to become a winning organization. You got to show next season that you have a chance to make it into the playoffs, that you can actually, you know, play some functional team defense and just like show that potential free agents, not just Giannis, that Atlanta with Trae Young as the focal point can be a place where you can come and thrive and win games. Nothing starts until the Hawks prove that to Giannis or to anyone that they're a winning organization.
I would say I wholeheartedly agree with that. Yeah. And like I said, in a dream sense, it could definitely make sense, but we have to continue to make strides and make decisions mm-hmm. to make ourselves attractive and say, hey, we're doing things, like you said, to win now. And maybe if Milwaukee made a huge blunder and they just couldn't get it done, and he's a free agent 2021, and maybe the Hawks do some things this year to position themselves even better to maybe get closer and closer to the Eastern Conference playoffs with whatever they do with the draft pick, trades, all the cap space for free agency. And then from there, make yourself attractive for the 2021 free agency market that includes Giannis if they don't get a deal in Milwaukee and other players, which we will talk about even later on in the program. So you're absolutely right. We need to position ourselves now. We need to make ourselves ready now if we want to be attractive market for Giannis or other players that could be available out there.
And it's just, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how players around the league would view playing with Trae Young as an attractive option, like a guy to team up with to win some games. Because you know how the league works nowadays. It's not, I mean, yeah, obviously market plays a big role in attracting free agents, but these guys want to team up with fellow superstars. They want to play with guys who can maximize their chances at winning championships. And Trae Young, you know, he needs to show that he can lend to winning basketball. Because on paper, you know, a guy who can stretch the floor from all the way to half court and yes. can get all of his teammates involved, like there, you would think that this is a guy that dudes would want to play with, particularly with Giannis. I mean, you know, if we're just like talking dream scenarios here, Trae Young and Giannis cover up each other's weaknesses to like the maximum degree, right?
Yes.
Like they, like you pair those two together and you don't have, you know, you are making up for the two deficits there.
It's like Pinky in the Brain. It's like Pinky in the Brain, to be honest. Yeah. Like, not to say one is game is like dumbed down, quote unquote, than the other, but they both were an interesting dichotomy that put together, they got stuff done. And I think you're right. Them together could get stuff done, especially if they continue to fill out other parts of their rosters. And we talked offline about a primary bench, you know, playmaker score, like little things like that. They need to continue to make inroads into molding this team into an attractive roster with Trae Young, like you said, the centerpiece to say, hey, come to Atlanta. Yeah. Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play. And we ride on things like every day. Every day.
Every day.
You got to win games. And with Capella coming back now, healthy, the Hawks will finally get to see exactly what they truly have on the court. And you mentioned, you know, Reddish and some of the videos coming out on social media of his work offseason, as well as DeAndre Hunter. We see that they're working on their games and the gym and the lab, which is great. So we'll see what the Hawks actually have on the court, hopefully, this year. So this offseason, leading into that, it's already exciting with the roster itself, right, currently constructed. And they have some decisions to make of if they're going to bring some players back in free agency mm-hmm. and draft. But it's just a very, very exciting time, as you mentioned at the beginning of the program, to buy into this franchise with the sky's the limit, you know, possibility. I mean, for them and their success going forward. So it's just, man, yeah. You picked a good one to ride or die with, Alan.
Oh, I'm hoping. I mean, there's a lot of hurt to make up for, but I'm hoping that these guys can start on that. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, like, these guys are really fun to root for in their own right. You know, it's like John Collins is, I think, one of the more underrated offensive big men in the entire league. And if he can improve in a couple of facets, I mean, like, he could become incredibly dangerous on the offensive end. And then, you know, like just the youth with Cam and Hunter, seeing how they can develop in year two. There's a lot to be optimistic about. I mean, you don't have to shoot for the stars to envision this team making some noise towards a playoff run. Like, you don't necessarily, you know, need to go land all stars right away to make this work. You can still keep building with what we have here. But I mean, obviously in Giannis's case, that's just the kind of guy who, yeah, you do trade pretty much anyone outside Trey for. But that's not deep analysis right there. You don't need you don't need our opinions to know that that's a good move.
Yeah, still Giannis ATL. Just want to put it in the cosmos. But some very, very interesting points made as far as to the current landscape of this roster and what realistically they have to do. And so we'll move on to what the Hawks need to do next year as far as free agency or later in the program. But first, a plug for ExpressVPN. We all know how a VPN protects your privacy and security online, right? I mean, I dabbled in a little bit, but after learning about ExpressVPN, I had to see what's up. And it's taken my TV watching game to the next level. You can use a VPN to unlock movies and shows that are available in other countries. Man, this past weekend, I used an ExpressVPN to rewatch one of the dopest shows ever, Prison Break. It's only available in UK, which is tragic for me. But you know what? It's simple. I just fired up the ExpressVPN app, changed my location to the UK, refreshed Netflix, and bam! I got to watch Prison Break and my boy Schofield. That man is a mastermind. See, ExpressVPN hides your IP address and lets you control where you want the sites to think you're located. You can choose from almost 100 different countries. So just think about all the Netflix libraries that you can go through. You love anime? Use ExpressVPN to access Japanese Netflix and Kamehameha high away. You get it? Dragon Ball Z? Anyway, it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service. Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. There are hundreds of VPNs out there, but the reason why I use ExpressVPN is to watch shows, and the streaming is ridiculously fast. There's never any buffering or lag, and you can stream it in HD with no problem. ExpressVPN is also compatible with all your devices, phone, media consoles, smart TVs, and more. So you can watch what you want on the go or on the big screen, wherever you are, it does not matter. So, if you visit my special link right now, expressvpn.com/hoopball. That's again, expressvpn.com/hoopball. You can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN free. So, support the show, watch what you want to watch, and protect yourself at expressvpn.com/hoopball. Now, time to talk about some moves you would love to see the Hawks make this upcoming offseason. So we briefly mentioned free agency. I know on this program we talked about a lot of trade scenarios on earlier episodes to figure out, and that's the direction, you know, me and my expertise and my thought process, I think that the franchise should go. But I know we talked about some other potential targets on the previous episodes, like Davis Bertans. But, Alan, I want to see what free agents that are out there for this offseason that – you think that the Hawks should be eyeing, should be looking at to help propel them a little bit closer to the Eastern Conference playoffs?
Well, so, yeah, this is definitely, you know, the Hawks are going to have to make some additions this offseason. And you know, this is a team that really does need everything, to be honest. Like, that's just the one area that we might have locked up for right now is like the center position. But even then, you know, there are plenty of holes across the roster to fill. I think first and foremost, this team needs to really add another perimeter defender. Someone.
Yes.
They need so. Capella could be the answer down low, but it's so essential for a team that has Trae Young on the floor for 35 minutes a night to have two guys on the wing who can guard the two best perimeter players on the opposing team. you know, Trey, I know he's been he's working hard on his defense or this offseason, and he'll never be the kind of guy who you could even hope to be like close to it. Like, I mean, he might get to be an average defender one day in terms of just like, you know, the right spots to be on the floor, but he's just at a disadvantage out there. You need other guys to be able to help out. Cam Reddish at the moment is the only competent wing defender that I feel comfortable with out there. DeAndre Hunter's got that potential, but you know, we saw him, you know, we didn't really see what we thought we would out of him last season. And it also looks like that his future in the league is going to be more oriented towards the four than, you know, guarding guards and such. So I think you really got to think of who you could add right now to help in that area. And there's some restricted free agents on the market who I think would actually help a lot. The top one probably being De'Anthony Melton coming out of Memphis. I like, you know, he had a really strong season for them last year, and I'm sure that there's going to be, you know, the Grizzlies are going to be keen on matching offers for him, but I think what he can offer you as a defender on the perimeter, the fact that he can work as a secondary ball handler, it is pretty good, and he has potential to grow as a three-point shooter as well. He just sort of brings everything to the table that you would hope for at that two spot to pair alongside Trey. So, you know, I like, you know, the Hawks have got a lot of cap space, and, you know, maybe they it wouldn't be the worst idea in the world to try and flex some of it and see if you can get yourself a young guy who's on the same timeline as the guys you currently have at a position of need. And Melton, he's particularly the defense and the ball handling. Those are two areas of dire need for this Hawks team that he could step in right away and provide immediate upgrades to.
And I really love that take. I really love that take because I know with some of the draft picks, obviously running a segment of if the Hawks actually keep the sixth pick, I've looked at, you know, combo guards that are at the two, could play the three, that are ball handlers and can be really good defenders to, like you said, cover some of the defensive efficiency in Trae Young's game in that backcourt for the Hawks. Very interesting take. I didn't think about him, but now when you say that and you put that out in the open, I see that working. I see that working, especially if they can, you know, get the right deal for him and still have enough cap space to get other players in free agency. Because I would assume he's not going to command a large sum of money, so that it can have a little bit of more money to play around with other free agents. And that may shift their focus if they're able to get him and they make that a priority this offseason at number six. And look at some of the other players, or even shop that pick up or down for someone who would most likely would want to take that pick. So, any other restricted free agent that you find interesting at this point before we dive into some of the rumored targets that have been out there in media for the Hawks?
Yeah, well, so I mean, along the sort of the same, you know, line of thinking, there are two other guys out there actually from the same team who in the restricted free agency market that could work next to Trae Young, maybe not as well as Melton, but definitely are intriguing for similar reasons. Chris Dunn from Chicago, he's on the market this year, and he was one of the best perimeter defenders in the entire league this past season. I don't think that's hyperbole to say. He had a weird season too, because, you know, he was sort of in the doghouse with Jim Boylan in Chicago heading into the year. I mean, there's rumors about him being shot the year before, and you know, they brought in Tomas Satoransky and drafted Kobe White. It just seemed like that they had lost confidence in Dunn to be their guy. Of course, he ended up actually playing a lot of small forward for them this year and was really one of their, I mean, he was one of their better players on the season. But there's him and there's his teammate who didn't get as much play and is probably not as exciting, but Shaquille Harrison is an under-the-radar guy.
Yes.
Who,
oh, yes.
Big guard, almost a wing, but with some point guard skills. That, you know, those are two guys that are going to be out there on the market. And I know that Reinsdorf and the Bulls have talked about how they're facing a little bit of money issues on that side. So I'm curious if one of those two could potentially be easy to get if just, like, you know, cash considerations come into play and you just, like, you know, the Bulls have just got to make a choice. Because there's a little bit of redundancy with them. Obviously, Dunn is much more accomplished NBA player. Harrison, you only get to really see in small spurts, but the metrics on him are pretty positive. And I do think that, you know, he of those three I just listed, he's like the lesser You know, he's probably on the bottom of the list of those three that you'd want to go after. But I think there's a world in which he could be attainable, and it would be interesting to see what he would do with more minutes with the intangibles that he could bring. And then real quick, the other aspect, because I've listed a few guys that are on the same timeline age-wise as the other Hawks, but, you know, getting vets in here should also be a priority, probably number two behind better perimeter defense. Yes, and you can combine those two, obviously. A guy that's going to be out there who has really blossomed late in his career, former Hawk Justin Holiday, is going to be out on the market. I think that he should be someone that the Hawks take a serious look at for his 3-and-D potential. I think that he could really help in a lot of different just you need more shooting and more perimeter defense. It's that simple. And Holiday would be a terrific guy to bring off your bench and help out with that. And the last one, and I don't know how attainable it is, but it's certainly plausible that he'll be on a new team next year. Another former Hawk, Paul Millsap, going to be out there on the free agent market again. I don't know if he's looking for a starting gig. I'm sure he is. I don't know who's willing to offer it out there, but if he decides that he wants to go back to a familiar place, because I don't think he and the Hawks left on bad terms. I know that they didn't offer him a new contract when he was a free agent all the way back in 2016. But I think it was also understood where the Hawks were at that point in time. It was time to blow things up, and Millsap wanted to contend for championships still. I don't know if that's still the mindset. I don't know if he'd be willing, but if the Hawks were to offer him a lucrative 1-year deal to come in here and play some backup 4 and 5, he'd be terrific. He would be spectacular. I mean, the leadership and the defense would be great to have back on this team.
And I know on our past program, I mentioned in an interview with Collins with Hoop Rumors about Collins saying that they need a veteran presence since VC is gone to give them some guidance and teach them how to be consummate professional who's been in the league. Mm-hmm. They know how to work. They know how to, you know, game in, game out, what's to put in your body, routines and workouts to make them game ready, game in and game out. That's what this young team is missing, some guidance now with the roster currently constructed. So very interesting take on both of those former Hawks. And I really like the Justin Holiday take, especially since, like I said, he's starting to carve his niche and his place in the league after it was a little bit uncertain, but he's been playing very well. And he's somebody you know is going to play hard regardless. Now, the stats may not show it, but his impact on the floor, he's always playing hard every time he steps on that court. Similar to obviously his brothers in the league, especially the one down in NOLA, Drew. They're just known to just like that's just embedded in their DNA. So I love those takes. I love those takes. And I've definitely seen those in media as well. And some of the other free agent targets that have been put out by media has been for the Hawks. Joe Harris has been out there. A lot of people wondering, should they get into the battling to pay him? And I know with Davis Bertan out there on the market, I know that they have at least two of those shooter type forwards that they can bring onto the roster to boost 3-point shooting, which is desperately needed outside of Trae Young and Collins, who shot at 40% last year. So to add some more shooting to the roster, I know Van Fleet is a free agent. That would be very interesting if we can get the money, but knowing him, I can see him staying in Toronto. Bogdanovich for the Kings, who they really love, and I would assume that they're going to re-sign. Malik Beasley up in Minnesota, who had obviously left the Nuggets, and now he's played really great for that Timberwolves team. I'm sure they would love to re-sign him, but I don't know if they have the money to do it. And then two Hawks players that were on the roster last year, Trevion Graham and Teague. Where do you stand on either of those being welcomed back to the Hawks roster?
You know, I respect Teague a lot. I mean, it was cool seeing him come back through Atlanta. But I don't know if I'm all that interested in bringing him back into the fold. I mean, if it's at a reasonable price, sure. But, you know, for the backup point guard situation, you know, I'm looking to just maybe add a little bit of someone who can play a little more attuned to the Hawks' pace. Jeff Teague is a very slow it down kind of point guard, and it's nice to have those kinds of players and mix and match how fast and loose you play on teams. But it just never felt like that he was the best fit with this exact team, which is a very run and gun style of play. I don't know. It's just if the price is right, then sure, because he is a competent backup point guard for sure. But I might look elsewhere for that position. And Trevion Graham, while he showed, like, you know, instances here and there, I wouldn't consider him to be an offseason priority in re-signing and bringing back into the fold.
Yeah, I know both of those were questions coming into the offseason. Obviously, you want as much money as you can spend, and if you can get some of the players that you have mentioned and some of the players that were linked to the Hawks and other media outlets, that you would rather cash the money there because it's new, it's exciting. They fit needs better to your team, and I don't think either of those players help any of the needs that are currently that need to be addressed currently for the Hawks. So mm-hmm. I think moving on from those players would probably be the best thing to do. And like I said, maybe you get a couple players in free agency this year, see what the current roster constructed, see what you have. And then next year, there's some very interesting free agent targets next year. We mentioned Giannis. Mm-hmm. There's some other ones that we mentioned online. Restricted, but Jason Tatum, I imagine the Celtics are going to sign him long-term, but he is a restricted free agent next year. Spencer Dinwiddie is a free agent next year. I know he's been mentioned in some trade talks for the Nets this offseason to try to get some value with Steve Nash coming in at the helm there, and you have KD and Kyrie back. So Dinwiddie may be the odd one out because I know they like LeVert, so he's a free agent next year. Monty Morris, guard for the Nuggets. Will Barton have the player option next year? Oladipo is on the fence. He could be there. The duo in L.A., depending on what happens after their fallout this year. Drew Holiday, if he's not traded before then. There's a host of Knicks players. I call it like a liquidation sale. Everything must go. They have a host of players that could fill a roster. I don't particularly want them on our roster, but just put that out there for the audience. Josh Richardson for the 76ers has a player option. Kelly Oubre is a free agent next year. Patty Mills, longstanding professional, could play the one or two. Good three-point shooter from the Spurs. He's a free agent. Restricted free agent, OG Anunoby. I imagine Toronto would want to keep him, but interesting names out there. And one interesting name that I told Alan before we started recording, I want to put this in the Cosmo. Lemon Pepper Lou is a free agent next year. Depending on what happens with the Clippers next season after this debacle, I just want to put out there, I would love for Lemon Pepper Lou to end his career here home in Atlanta. I just want to put that out there. If the money's right, he wants to end it here. The roster looks favorable. You pay him. End his career here. You have a bench scorer who could come in, play, make some, and get his own bucket to help this team, depending on what that roster looks like at that time. So I just want to put it out there. Lemon Pepper Lou, come on home. End your career here now. Now, how would you feel about it? Like, Alan?
We'll name another set of order for wings after him. Like, we'll give him his own set of chains on Magic City. Like, we could really sweeten the pot on that one. Bring him home. Like, you know, he would be a great fit off the bench. Like you said, we need just a scoring punch, really any capacity there. And, you know, Lou has proven that he could contribute. Well, I mean, up until the embarrassing playoff loss, seemed to be looking like a guy who could contribute to winning basketball. Yes. You know, he looked a little rough on defense out there at the end of that Nuggets series. But to just speak to your greater point is that next season free agency is way more interesting than this one. And oh, yeah. I think that any moves that the Hawks make this season have to have that in mind. They have an advantage with all the cap space they have now. We all know that the cap situation is about to get pretty wonky in the league. And it'd behoove yourself to maintain that flexibility next offseason, especially if on the off chance, to circle back to the Giannis conversation that we were having, if somehow the Bucks just, you know, they get it to free agency, they don't re-sign him, they don't trade him, and Giannis is just like, yep, you know what, this isn't it for me, I'm going to go elsewhere. And you just sign outright with another team. The Hawks would like to have the space to compete for that, because you plug him in with everyone that the Hawks have now, they don't have to give anyone up for him. I mean, I don't think it's a stretch to say that that's probably the best team in the Eastern Conference. Giannis,
it's
Trey,
not a stretch.
Colin.
It's not a stretch. Yeah, it's not a stretch.
And that's a reason, too, where I'm a little wary of going after some of the bigger names that are being reported right now, like Joe Harris and Dawes Bertans. Just, these are dudes who are going to command a lot of money, most just because they I mean, like not to discount either player, they're both terrific shooters, especially Bertans. He had an insane shooting season.
Yeah.
But you got to be wary about just tying up too much money to them this year. And you know that agents are going to be hounding the Hawks, a team with a lot of cap space. They want to use the Hawks as leverage to bump their guys' price tag up. They're gonna, you're going to see a lot of rumors. I've seen this point made by a few people covering the team that they're going to see a lot of people linked to the Hawks as free agency because of that leverage situation. Agents want teams to know that if they're not willing to pay their guy, well, they have this option down here in Atlanta with all the cap space and need to improve everywhere on the roster. I'm hoping that Schlenk makes the right call here and chooses to save the cap space for next season, especially if the Hawks could put together some winning basketball and actually look like an attractive option for some of the better guys who will be in that free agent class.
I definitely agree. And you mentioned, obviously, rumors will continue to circulate, linking people to us. And you know how we feel about rumors here. I heard. Just get deep down in my soul. But funny, I love how you mentioned the salary cap issue as far as obviously the loss of revenue that happened this year and it being in flux, because that's going to play a big decision on John Collins, who I've said on this program I would, in any stretch, even though he would be used as a trade bargain or a starting point in a trade if they want to upgrade the roster now, I've already said that it would be a mistake to let him go, especially because he was a top 15 player as far as offensive efficiency last year, improved in every aspect in his game. Needs to continue to improve on the defensive end and little things. But I think with Capella coming onto the roster now and being healthy, I think it may ultimately make him a better defensive player because of how great of a defensive player that Capella is. But as far as re-signing him with salary cap issues, How do you feel about this? Do we resign them? And you know the Hawks' history of not keeping players who are owed their, you know, just desserts as far as money, and coming into that when you have Trae Young on your roster as well and all of this possibility. Do you resign Collins? Do you wait till next offseason before free agency? Do you try to get a deal done this year, or do you trade him? Like, where are you on this with as far as JC?
So I get the Hawks' apprehension about giving him an extension like right now or as soon as possible. And I believe it was almost like a couple of days before the league shut down, Chris Kirshner out of The Athletic, he reported as such that the Hawks, at their current point, they didn't know which way they just weren't ready to commit, basically, is what you get out of that report. They were a little uneasy about devoting significant money to Collins. And you can understand just because John Collins is – in Trae, like the time that they've shared the floor together is not what you would have hoped for 2 years into this. Like, they're between Collins' suspension and injury bouts, both that Trae had and that he's had. You just don't really know what you have between these two, which is crazy, but to think about, but it's true. I mean, I think that I can't remember, but like, I think Trae, Collins, and Herter barely have been on the floor for half of their games together as Atlanta Hawks players. So you can't commit to Collins until you can see what these guys are capable of when all healthy. And, you know, records-wise, it's clear that when Collins and Trae are on the floor at the same time, this is just a better team than what the final record has indicated over the past couple of seasons. But, you know, you owe it to yourselves to be smart and pragmatic to just get better, to get a larger sample size before cap space is a valuable thing. And when you can't really mess up these years with Trae Young, where you still got him on the cheap, you'll never get him this cheap again. You want to make sure that you're putting your cap space to use in the best way possible. Cause this is a guy, if you get the right pieces around him, you can see the formula for winning basketball. Like, yes. So, and you know, none of this is to discredit Collins because I've said it already on the podcast, like here, he's incredibly gifted offensively. And I think that 3-point shooting that we saw of him last season is real. I don't think that the Hawks would have invested in Capella, a guy who's going to be in the paint all the time, if they didn't think that Collins could spend a decent chunk of his time on the perimeter, keep that lane clear for Trae to continue to drive and kick out or finish with his floaters. Like, you know, you need that as part of the Trae Young formula. So they have to believe that what they saw out of him is real and can be sustainable. And if that's the case, I mean, 40%, it's going to be tough to beat. But if you're getting anywhere close to that from your four position, you've got a really, really dangerous offensive weapon.
And I think that the points you just made, sign him, keep him here. And like you said, I think it was a statistic that said that when Trey and Collins are on the floor together, they play close to 500 ball. And if you're playing 500 ball in the East, you're in the playoffs, whether it's 6, 7, 8, you're battling for the lower half of the Eastern Conference playoffs, which is where you want to be to continue to set yourself up, obviously, for next year, if they can stay on the court together and see how this roster plays out. Hey, going into free agency next year, they look a lot more attractive if they're a playoff team with the roster currently constructed, and it makes it definitely an easier sell for them to say, hey, we want to put in roots down in ATL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Collins could totally be a part of that that whole thing if he can stay healthy, if he can, if the Hawks can get to 500 ball and he's on the floor for a majority of those games or all of those games, then you could feel a little more comfortable about signing him on long term, especially with how the fit with he and Capella work out. I mean, it's gonna be a real critical season to see, if Collins can continue to sustain himself as this just sort of five tool offensive threat. It'd be interesting to see if he could add even more facets to his game. If he could become a better passer. Yeah. Passing big man is in vogue right now in the league with Jokic and Adebayo and Draymond before those two. Like, winning teams have guys who can have big guys who can dish and get others involved. And if Collins can improve upon that, that's another area that he could continue to go up. I mean,
yeah,
I'll say he's a perfect fit here.
Yeah, and I think that's an area that the entire Hawks team can improve. Like I said in the earlier pod, with Trae Young averaging 9 assists a game, but then the next person behind him is maybe at 4 last year assist. You want more people sharing the ball, getting more ball movement, because that's ultimately going to make everybody else better. And that comes with Capella being there, Collins on the wing, spacing can be improved a little bit, so hopefully they can get more open looks. And so the offense is more efficient as well. And hopefully, like you said, as he's great on the offensive side of the ball, he can get better on the defensive end, especially if he's going to be out towards the perimeter more, work on perimeter defense, lateral foot speed. So you're covering people from the 3-point line all the way to the paint. And I think it just makes the team better. So work on his defensive efficiency. And we know how efficient defensively Capella is when healthy. Let's just see what we have. Make ourselves look attractive for years to come, especially with free agency next year being hot, like Gunner and Young Thug. But I want to take the time right now to thank you, Alan, for coming on the show today. It has been a pleasure. I can't say enough how great it was having a true Hawks fan here on the program today.
Oh, man, it was a great time. Thanks for having me on. I hope to do more of these going forward, and keep doing your thing, man. This has really been a pleasure to listen to you on these first few episodes you've had. I mean, it's cool seeing HoopBall expanding their team coverage division the way that they are, and you've definitely been a plus. I mean, like, this is if you're a Hawks fan, this needs to be in your rotation, everyone. This is an informative and entertaining show. So it's a pleasure to be a part of that.
Yeah, put it in rotation like Future. Let's talk about it. It's another rotation we can't talk about in this program, but put it in rotation and tell the audience some of the other things you're working on here at HoopBall and how they can connect with you, Hawks fans, HoopBall fans. How can they connect with you personally, Alan?
So y'all can follow me on Twitter. My handle is Alan Srochi, AlanSrochi. I'm heading towards the end of a hiatus from the writing and podcasting side over here at HoopBall. But once I get through these next couple of months work-wise, I'm going to go back to doing some stuff with the site, and I'm going to be taking part into some fantasy draft analysis for basketball once we get closer to that regular season start. So I'll be hopefully helping up on the draft guide and helping y'all with advice on Twitter like I did back in the season, and hopefully talk to some more Hawks over here.
Well, we are definitely going to have you on the program and back again as a true Hawk savant. And my hand, I'm rubbing my hands right now like Birdman because I love fantasy basketball, and I just can't wait for the Nuggets that you're going to drop on us. Nuggets, just like the Nuggets dropping on us here in the Western Conference.
Jamal Murray on you.
He's going to go Jamal Murray on to put the numbers up and definitely control the narrative of you guys' team like Jokic controls that offense. So I want to say, guys, if you loved what you heard today, give us 5-star, like I hope your Uber passenger rating is, which I'm still trying to figure out why I have a 4.91. I want to know what happened, what did I do wrong. But anyway, that's besides
who did it.
Yeah, who did it? But that's which besides the point. Give us 5 stars. Give us a good review. Share with fellow Hawks fans and basketball enthusiasts. Follow us here at Hoop Ball Hawks, at Hoop Ball Hawks on Twitter. And follow myself, Brad Jarrett 67. That's J-A-R-R-E-T-T 67. And let me give the audience a quick yer as we close this program.